This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Discourse, a short-form, one-on-one interview podcast with filmmakers, actors, and other film industry folks, brought to you by The Playlist and hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo. Today, I cross into hostile territory to discuss one of my current favorite films of 2024, which is Alex Garland's Civil War. The movie takes place in the near future during a second civil war in America and follows a group of war journalists and photographers on a quest to interview the president before the battle ends. The A24 film stars Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Mara, Kaylee Spaney, Nick Offerman, Stephen McKinley Henderson, and more. Joining me to discuss the film is one of the stars, Wagner Mara. You might know Wagner from his role as Pablo Escobar in Narcos, or he was in Elysium, Shining Girls. He was in the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith series. I highly recommend checking all of those out, but most of all, I recommend checking out Civil War when it hits theaters on Friday, April 12th. I watched it a few weeks back, and it really still hasn't left me. It's such a powerful and emotional and thrilling ride through what seems like a not-so-distant future if we continue on the path we're on. Sure, a lot of the discourse on the film has been surrounding how the states are divided up on the map and how it's not how it would go if it were to divide up the states today, but that's intentional. That's very intentional by Garland, who wanted to separate it from our immediate reality to tell a cautionary tale about where we could be headed if the countries of the world keep building the polarization that's fed by politics and politicians. It's a visceral experience, to say the least. Low on details when it comes to the how and why of the war, which some might be a little put off by, but it's super rich with character and message. Like I said, I absolutely adored it. During the interview, Wagner and I discussed the film in depth, along with some of his favorite films, his directorial debut, Marighella, what he has coming up, his thoughts on Alex Garland's recent decision to step away from directing. Lots of great things in this one. Before I shoot you over to our chat, I've got to tell you that The Discourse is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, Bingeworthy, Deep Focus, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite shows. Be sure to subscribe and drop us a comment or a rating, as we do very much appreciate it. Or just head on over to theplaylist.net for film and TV news, interviews, reviews, and more. Okay, for our listeners, Civil War again hits theaters on April 12th. Here's my interview with the wonderful Wagner Mara. Mike D'Angelo with The Playlist. Wagner, how the heck are you, man?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I am doing great. It is a pleasure to speak with you. I have been on like a Mara movie marathon, basically. I watched Elite Squad this week. I watched Marighella this week. I watched Elysium. Oh. I watched Gray Man, even though you're in a little bit of it. I'd recently finished Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but of course I watched Civil War as well. It's been a good week.
Thank you. I'm really pleased you took a time to see all those films.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed every single one of them. Civil War in particular blew me the hell away. Like, I know it's April. It's at the number one slot in my list right now. I keep a ranking all year round. I thought it was exceptional. So congratulations on it. It's really great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I definitely want to jump into that. But, you know, usually if I have a little time, I like to jump in as a film fan, as a critic. I just enjoy starting a chat by discussing films that kind of broke you open and made you fall in love with film and storytelling. Mm-hmm. So for me, like I grew up, I was born in 85. So a lot of those movies from the 80s, the touchstones in America, like Batman and Back to the Future and Indiana Jones and Princess Bride and, you know, all these big adventures kind of cracked my brain open and made me fall in love with this. But I'd be curious to know what were the movies for you? What were the ones that broke you open?
Well, sort of like when I was a kid, of course. I mean, we were seeing so many American Hollywood films, right? Like Jaws, or I remember Jaws had a huge impact on everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
But and I'm from Salvador, Bahia, which is a city on the shore, right? So I, of course, I spent like years without going to the beach at all. And The Goonies is a film that I will never forget. Like, it was such an important film. But it's more like a kid, like entertainment, right? Like, but when I started really loving movies, the films that I really, really like kind of opened my mind was the Italian films from the post-war, the Italian New Realism. Films like of course, Bicycle Thieves or Rocco and his brothers, Il Posto, films about working class people, like in Italy. Those films, like, because there is, in Brazil, there's this very important film movement called Cinema Novo. So, movement from the 60s that filmmakers like Glauber Rocha, Carlos Diegues, Leon Hisman, made a revolution in the way Brazil, in the Brazilian film landscape. And the influence of the Italian films was very strong. Handheld cameras, working with non-actors, or talking about working class people. And Brazilian films are pretty much till today. I mean, it's a very diverse industry now, but till today, they're very sort of political films that try to understand the country, to know what, you know, what the problem is, sort of in a left wing sort of approach, social approach. So these are the films that kind of, if you see Marighella, it somehow comes
certainly
from
that
tradition. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's talk Civil War because it's so freaking good. I know you had originally been talking to Alex Garland for, what was it, Devs?
For Devs.
Which I also loved.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask, were you circling the Nick Offerman role, or what role were you circling?
Yeah, was the role of Nick.
Okay. So Alex reaches out to you again.
Yeah.
How quickly were you like, yes, I'm going to do it? Or did you have to read it? Did you have to understand?
He first sent the script to me, and I thought that was brilliant writing.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was my thing, right? Like, it's a very political film, you know, but also because all the films that I do, I mean, Marighella, when I shot it, I really wanted the film to sell as many tickets as possible. I want the films to be popular. I want, even the Elite Squad is a very popular film in Brazil, and it is a political film too. So when I read the script of Civil War, I was like, this is a holy grail. This is like a potential Hollywood blockbuster with something very strong to say. And so I was like, I really wanted to do this. And then I had the Zoom with Alex, and the Zoom call went super well, even better than the meeting that I had with him for Devs, obviously. But I was happy that he had remembered me, and it was great because in the end of the conversation, he was like, "That's it." We spoke for like an hour, and he was like, "Listen, man, I want you in the film. This is it. I have to talk to A24. It's not my decision alone, but, you know, I really want you in the film." And took him like 4 days to call me back for like very difficult days where I was like at home. My God, maybe A24 doesn't want me, but it worked out. So, yeah.
Sure did. You have a background in journalism, which I'm sure came up, but war journalism is like It's its own beast, man. It's how do you go about researching that to play Joel? Did you read books in the past about these kind of things, or did you talk to anybody?
Yes, both. I like you said, I graduated as a journalist. I worked as a journalist, and I had just played the journalist in a series called
Shining Girls.
I love the fact that I played two journalists. I think that journalism is most of my friends are journalists, and I think that journalism has such an important role for the maintenance of democracy and you know, so many things. But like you said, war journalism is a different beast. So yeah, I read lots of books about combat journalism. I reached out to war correspondents. I spoke with some of them, but the thing that I wanted to know from them was less like how they did their job or what they felt. I wanted to know, how does it feel to be a civilian in the middle of a war zone?
Yeah, my guess, from what I've heard is that it's just like coming back as, you know, a soldier. You have PTSD from a lot of the things you're seeing and experiencing. And even in this film, Kirsten's character is very much that. So it's terrifying stuff. Right.
Yeah. It's pretty much what happens to soldiers, like and the PTSD thing but the thing that really, especially playing Joel, who is what they call like a war junkie, right? Like someone that is a war junkie and many of them are like that because they experience something so extraordinary when they go to a war zone and they come back and they survive. When they come back to their daily lives, you know, school, friends, kids, it's very sad actually because all these things stop making sense. It's an addiction. They need that. They need to get that adrenaline back to their bodies again.
I know how this movie affected me as an American, seeing the political division the way it is today. I'm curious how it affects you as a Brazilian, because military dictatorship is obviously in your recent history. You made a whole movie about that period, and things are still tense today. So how did it kind of play for you?
Yeah, man. I think that there's this polarization is indeed a big threat to democracies around the world. And I think that journalism has a very important role in that, because people are just so divided and consuming their own informations and from social medias and from whatever those informations come. And then this spread of fake news, conspiracy theories, all that crap that make that good people start to hate good people. And I think that journalism is, what's really scares me? The truth as we know it is about to end.
Yeah.
And the collapse of, not the collapse, but the decline of journalism is something that really scares me, because, you know, like I graduated as a journalist, and many of my friends, man, that are working in newspapers, they're like, dude, I think I'm about to find another job, because I don't know till when this is gonna be economically sustainable.
Yeah,
this business. So yeah, it scares me. It scares the polarization scares me a lot. You know, and it's here in Brazil, in Europe, in Africa, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it kind of spread thanks to the internet. We're all kind of this interconnected kind of thing, feeding off of each other. Mm-hmm. But as far as your character goes, like, I love Joel in this. In doing my research, it sounds like a lot of those little flourishes that I adored came directly from you and the other actors being able to just go in and be creative and block out the scenes yourselves. Even kind of creating whole bits in the background, like you flirting with the store clerk or shooting the shit with the soldiers and just laughing your ass off and experiencing, you just experienced horrific shit and you're just sitting there like shooting the shit with these guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Because this is exactly what happens to them. That, yeah. You know, when I did Narcos, I was like, wow. So I was talking to people that lived in Bogota back in the 80s, right? Like when all the bombs were, it was the most dangerous city in the world in the 80s. It was Bogota, Colombia. And when I talked to these people that have lost like friends and family and everything, I was like, what was it? How was your daily life? And they were like, dude, we were going out, we were going to bars, you know, we were drinking, we were meeting our friends. Life just goes on. And I think that Joel, being this veteran journalist, he knows, he enjoys that. And he brings, I think his role in that car is sort of to bring some lightness and some joy to such a heavy environment, because the things that they're seeing, it's not unfortunate. These are things that they keep seeing all the time. It's not new. Of course, it's still like the images are still, the things that they see are still like very heavy, and you know, they find ways to shake that off, like drinking or drugs, and you know, sex.
Yeah. They're all
You know,
smokers, it seems.
they all smoke. Yeah, they smoke weed. They smoke cigarettes. It's a very tough one.
Yeah. Was Joel's like gregariousness, his levity, was that all in the script? Because a lot of those moments you're just picking up in the background. Did you add a lot more?
Yeah, I think that it was, everything was, most of it was pretty much on the script, you know. I think Alex really knew who Joel was, and he's very familiar, of course, with you know, he wrote the whole script about that, about war correspondence. So he knew exactly what that lightness that we're talking about, and he wanted that. He wanted that, and especially from Joel.
When it comes to his background, because we don't get a ton of background information, we get little sprinkles to kind of feed your imagination a bit so you can color it in yourself. How much in conversation did you spend, you know, with Alex just kind of going through his background, or do you just kind of extrapolate it yourself?
Yeah, I just created my own background, because as soon as I read the script, I knew immediately that I knew what he wanted. I knew that what led the country to that situation wasn't something that he was interested at in talking about. And to be fair, man, when I see a film with American troops in Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, none of them explain anything. I get it, because in a film like this, there's a cognitive dissonance, right? When you see like, whoa, this is happening. It's not in the Middle East. It's not in South America. It's like this, you see the White House blowing up. It causes like a very strong reaction, and I understand that. But I think he was very smart in managing, first of all, for his personal political ideas not to merge totally in the film, and to make a film that doesn't have a political agenda. You cannot say that this is a film with a progressive drive nor a conservative drive, which is great, because the big threat of the film, the thing that the film is talking about, is how dangerous polarization can be. So the film doesn't really pick a side, and I love that, and I love
Yeah.
that. So we never discussed anything about, you know, why Texas and California are together. Texas and California are working together because there is a president there that is a fascist. Why wouldn't they get together to fight against a president that's trying to destroy democracy? It makes total sense to me. You know, Godzilla and King Kong are working together too, you know.
You just got my son's attention right there.
I saw the trailer and was like, oh, are they working together?
When it comes to like these big war zone scenes that you guys are enacting, he clearly wants to see your faces in a lot of this stuff. So how much are you able to do in these scenes? How intense was shooting these war zone scenes?
It was very intense, and the whole idea was, that's why I think that when I talk about those films that are references for me, like for example, I don't really think, I don't know if Alex would agree with me, but I think this, when I think about Civil War, I think about Gillo Pontecorvo, I think about Costa Gavras, I think all these political directors. But the thing that the brilliance of Alex is that he managed to make a film like that, that is also a crazy Hollywood entertainment blockbuster, which is the Holy Grail. It's such a rare thing to make. But his idea was always to have the amount of realism and immersiveness that you see in a film like Battle of Algiers, right? Like it feels that you are in there. It's so realistic. It's so yeah. It for us actors in the, it felt very immersive. We were he made a point in using full rounds in all the battles. So it was very, very noisy. I think the way you experience it, like the audience experiences the film in a theater, is sort of what we were going through in there. It was very, very noisy. Some actors were advised to use earplugs, and I just took them off because I really wanted to experience the thing like in a very intense way.
Hearing be damned. as an actor, as a writer, as a director yourself, how does it feel, you know, when you work with Alex Garland and you hear he wants to stop directing films? I know, like, just as a fan, it's a bummer. Like, I love watching his films. So when you've worked with him, does it make sense that he doesn't want to anymore? Does it feel like a burden to him when he's on set?
No, I think it's more like a personal decision, you know. As a fan, of course, I mean, I would love to see another Alex Garland film in 2026, but I get it. And I also admire, I have this fascination for people that go like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm going to do something else. Like Daniel Day-Lewis kind of thing, you know, like I'm gonna make shoes.
Yeah.
He said that he's not retiring, right? He said in a foreseeable future. That I guess that's what he said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's going to write and
And of course, foreseeable future is a very vague and open thing. But Alex is not a bullshit guy. When he says something, he'll probably be away from directing for a while.
I believe it. Even though he is writing, so at least we get that. Speaking of directing, like I said, I watched Marighella, and it's very clear you have the talent and the ability to keep directing if you want to. Are you setting up other projects? Do you want to keep
making
more films?
Yes, I am. I'm going to make my first film here in the U.S. It's a film called The Last Night at the Lobster, based on Stuart Onan's novel. It's a film about, I like to say that it's a anti-capitalism Christmas movie. it's a film about the last day. It's the whole film takes place in one day, which is the last day of this food chain restaurant, where all the employees get fired a week before Christmas. And I play the manager that has to deal with all the employees and tell them what's going on. And I have to pick five of them to take to another venue. So it has to be shot in the winter because everything happens under a snowstorm. So we intend to shoot this like in December, January. It's being produced by Peter Seraph, who is a producer that I love, that produced great American independent films like The Little Miss Sunshine or adaptation, The Farewell. So I'm very excited about this one.
Me too. That sounds awesome. So thinking about Marighella, for a while there, wasn't it like banned in Brazil? Didn't you have to like fight to get it out there?
Oh yeah, man. It was hardcore because we premiered the film in Berlin in 2019. Great premiere, official competition, out of competition in Berlin, special screening. It was amazing, super well received. And then we couldn't get the film released in Brazil, and we could only release the movie in Brazil in 2021. So, and slowly we started to realize that Bolsonaro, who is our former president, who was a sort of fascist guy, he who was a guy who praised the dictatorship, right? He thought that the dictatorship was a good thing for the country, and he had some of the torturers that tortured and killed people back then are people that he admires and everything. So his government basically censored the movie in the country. They found ways to not to allow us to release the film there.
Well, at least you finally got it out. Hopefully it was well received in Brazil.
It was super well received. It was the we won all the awards in Brazil of our Brazilian the equivalent of the Brazilian Academy. It was the film that was the biggest box office of 2021, which was like it's still like in the end of the pandemic, but people went to see the movie.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, my goal is to make films that are, you know, that have something to say, that you can say what you believe, or that had some sort of even a political or like any sort of like idea on it, but yeah, that's people to see, you know, like I don't believe in any idea that in order to make a popular movie you have to do something silly, or you know, and the opposite, like you don't need to, like I if you're doing something with something to say, it that shouldn't be some thing for like just like cine clubs and or anything like that.
Look at Barbie and Oppenheimer this past year.
People just see both of those. Exactly. Yeah.
Are you shooting Say Her Name right now, or is that getting ready to go with Adrian?
Yeah, this is something that it's not fully financed yet. So hopefully, what I'm doing now is after we finish all the work with Civil War, is I'm going to Brazil to work with this amazing filmmaker called Kleber Mendonça Filho, who is my favorite Brazilian filmmaker nowadays. He directed a film called Bacurau. I don't know if you've seen this. Won the Grand Prize in Cannes. Another film called Aquarius, and another film called Neighboring Sounds. I totally recommend those movies. You should definitely watch them. He's a great filmmaker.
Adding him to the list.
I'm very happy because it's a long time that I don't work as an actor in Brazil. It's like almost 10 years that I don't speak Portuguese in a film. So that's what I'm doing now. But I hope we can make Say Her Name right after that.
Yeah, I love Adria. I've spoken with her. She's great. But they're giving me the rap. So I will just say for our listeners, Civil War hits theaters on April 12th. Wagner is amazing in it. It is so impactful and important for our time. So can't recommend it enough. Wagner, thanks again. I really
appreciate it. Thanks, man. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise.